11 and 14. And again, continuing in our study in the Gospel of John, and we're going through each outline step by step. We've done Matthew, we've done Mark, we've done Luke, and now we're doing John. We've done an Old Testament Genesis, we've done Exodus, we did Leviticus, and we'll be doing Numbers next. No, we did Numbers already. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy we'll be doing next. Amen. So looking forward to all those in the upcoming year. But right now we're at John chapter 10, and the fourth I am statement that we'll be looking at here is Jesus Christ says, I am the good shepherd. So we'll be looking at that. Everybody that is there, John chapter 10, verse 11, we're going to read 11 and then read 14. Everybody that is there, say amen. Amen. Any omies? All right, John 10. Let's read 11 first and then drop down to 14. Here we go. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And then 14. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Father, now we pray that you'll bless these next moments that we have as we look at another one of the magnificent I am statements that you have had said in the Gospel of John to prove that you truly are God Almighty and God's only begotten Son. Pray that as we look at this tonight, we'll glean a blessing and we'll understand a little bit more about you as our good shepherd. And we as your sheep, we thank you for loving us, Lord. Pray now that you would speak to us, Lord, in a marvelous and a magnificent way. Show us a little bit more truth from your word. Show us a little bit more light from your word. Show us a little bit more about ourselves from your word. And help us to be what you would have us to be as well. We thank you and love you and praise you for love. And Lord, help us to love you more. And again, Lord, as the word of God is open tonight, help us to leave here differently than when we came in, a little bit more Christ-like in what we think, say, and do, a little bit more conformed to the image and transformed to the image of Christ's likeness in what we think, say, and do as well. Thank you so much for loving us, Lord. Work in our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. All right. Looking at the time here. How much time do I have? Okay, good. We've got about 35 minutes. Amen. All right. Well, just to bring us back up to date, did we go over, we went over something last week, didn't we? Did we finished out the last I am statement last week, if I recall, memory serves me correct, amen, where we looked at the bread of life. Which one did we look at last week? The door, that was it, amen. I get my notes here straightened out. The door, praise the Lord, amen. All right, well, going back through what we talked about, this is a study through the Gospel of John, John's outline. And John's main course is proving that Jesus Christ is who? The Son of God. Proving that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And what is the other truth that we found out? He's providing signs and miracles to help you believe. Amen. And if you have a hard time believing that, he said that I am seven times different things. And that's what we're looking at right now. We found the seven miracles and the signs that are here. The seven I am statements are here. And the seven witnesses all stating that Jesus Christ is indeed God. By the way, I've got a birth certificate proving who I am. I have a social security number proving who I am. And it is designed to prove that I am who I said I am. I even have a picture ID. Amen. My dad even sent me a baby picture. My mom holding me back when I was two, three. How old was our mom in that picture? 14. I was that small? I was big for 14 months. My son had a big head. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. But looking at that, I have proof that I am that person in the photo. I've got a birth certificate. I've got a Social Security card. Amen. I've got a hospital that says I was born there. I can go and get up the microfiche because that's about how old I am. Amen. And the microfilm and look and see who I am. Jesus Christ the same way. He's proving that he is God. He has these statements saying that he is God. He has these witnesses saying he's God. If that's not enough, he had these miracles to say he was God. By the way, every miracle that he did, only God could do. Amen. Nobody can walk on water but God. Nobody can open the eyes of the blind except God. Nobody can do those things except God. And so we're right now looking at these statements that he made out of the seven. We have covered already three. And we covered these three. I am the bread of life. And Jesus mentioned that he is everything that we need for this life, spiritually, physically, and eternally. Then we looked at I am the light of the world. And Jesus is everything we need to see, spiritually, physically, and eternally. Amen. By the way, you have Jesus Christ, you can see everything you need to see. Amen. And then we looked at I am the door. Jesus is everything we need for eternal life and to handle this life. By the way, there is not a thing in this life that you and I can't handle with Jesus Christ. Amen. As long as we have his word and we have him, there's not a thing that we cannot handle. He told Paul, my grace is what? So we got sufficient grace for everything we need. Amen. So this fourth of the I am statements here, I mentioned this. Are these random statements? No, they're not random statements. These are not random statements, but everyday practical statements of reality. And these statements that Jesus used were physical realities with physical practicalities. In other words, the people that he talked to understood what he meant. And what he did with that, he took what he said practically and put a spiritual understanding on it, just like light, just like the door, and just like the bread of life. And so that's where we're at right now with those statements. So now we come to this one. I am the good shepherd. I've got to ask you some questions tonight, so hopefully y'all are up for questions. Coming off of chapter 9, where the religious crowd is still there, as well as the lost people are there, and the Jews are there, and Jesus is speaking by parables and certain things. Notice verse number 6. This parable spake Jesus unto who? Them. Who is the them? All the people that were present in chapter 9 and right now. But they understood what? Not what things they were which he spake unto them. And I made this parallel. If you don't understand the physical, how can you understand the spiritual? What did Jesus tell Nicodemus? Except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said, how can these things be? How can a man be born when he's old? And Jesus said, how do you not understand what I'm saying? In other words, if you don't understand the physical, you can't understand the practical. Amen. And so they didn't understand. So Jesus goes throughout this passage and he's going to give several things about himself. Of course, we saw in verse number 9 and verse number 7, he said, I am the door. Notice verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be what? Saved. And what? Shall go in and out and find pastures. He said, not only will I give you eternal life, but I'll give you what you need to do everything you need to do on this earth. Then we come down to the next one, down in verse number 11. He says, I am what? The good shepherd. Question. If Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, who are the sheep? Don't be so quick to answer that. What do you say, Jamelli? Why would you say it's us? Now, principally speaking, that is correct. Principally speaking. But contextually, is that correct? Who is he talking to? The Jews. Are any Gentiles in this audience that he's addressing? So who's the sheep then? Jews. In this context, the literal contextual preaching and teaching of this setting, the people that he's talking to are Jews. Now, are we God's sheep in general if we're saved? Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Okay, so don't get alarmed. Oh, I'm not a sheep, amen. I'm a goat. No, you're not. If Jesus is a good shepherd, who are the sheep? Okay, God's people in general are sheep, but specifically in this verse, in this context, he's speaking to the Jews. Why do I say that? Go over to Matthew chapter number 10. Hold your fingers there. Matthew chapter number 10. And again, context is always key in understanding the application. Matthew chapter number 10, and notice verse number, let's see here, where are we going to go to? Verse number 5. Of course, verses 1 through 4 list the 12 apostles that Jesus called out. The 12 apostles were Jews. Would everybody agree with that? They're Jews, right? Okay. And because they're Jews, notice what it says in verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the who? Who are we? Gentiles. Go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the who? Samaritans. What were Samaritans? Half-breed. They were mixed with Jews. So they were not authentically pure Jews. So he said, don't go to Gentiles. Don't go to Samaritans. Well, Lord, who do you want us to go to? I'm glad we asked that question, because Jesus is going to answer that. He said, into the city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the who? Lost sheep of who? The house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So who are the sheep according to that context? Jews, not the Samaritans, not the Gentiles. Principally, when we get saved, are we sheep? Yes. But for all intents and purposes, we're not. Go over to chapter 15. 15 of Matthew. Matthew 15. And notice Matthew 15. And let's come down to verse number, let's see here, 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Of course, this Gentile nation. And behold, a woman of where? Canaan. Were Canaanites Jews? No, they were of the cursed race. Amen. Came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. She's got a demon, in other words. But he answered her not a word. His disciples came and besought him, saying what? Send her away. She cried after us. Why? She's a Gentile. We're not here for Gentiles. We're here, not even here for the Samaritans. Lord, we're here for the Jews. You sent us to the Jews. We're not here for this Gentile dog. She's a Canaanite. Amen. But what did Jesus say down here? Verse 24. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto who? The lost sheep of the house of Israel. Did God still bless? Even though she was a Gentile? Even though she was a dog? Again, I'm not being mean when I say that. That's what they called them, Gentile dogs. That's what they were called. But notice what happens here. Then came she, verse 25, and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. She said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Even though Jesus was not sent to this Gentile, did he help her? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. So going back to John chapter number 10, in the context and the grouping, they're all Jews here that came out of chapter number 9, where there's some Gentiles in the mix, more than likely there were. But he's not addressing them per se. He's addressing the Jews, okay? So looking at this, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of Israel. Come down to verse number 16 in the same passage. And let's go read verse 14. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the who? Sheep. Now notice verse 16. And what are those next two words? Other sheep I have, which are not of this what? Fold. Them also must I bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be what? One fold and one what? Shepherd. Now, there we go. There are the Jews, then there's everybody else, basically. And what Jesus Christ was saying is, I'm coming for the Jews first. Now, it's their job to reach everybody else. He said, I got some other sheep out here. And eventually they're going to come in here. You and I are those other sheep. So are we sheep? Yes, in that context we are. But when he talks in verse number 11, the good shepherd giveth life for the sheep, we're not really there yet. By the way, how many remember how the inclusion went in the gospel or in the Acts account. It was to bring four groups of people together. What four groups were there? Anybody remember? Of course, we know the gospel started in Jerusalem. So the Jews were one group. Brother Hall said the Samaritans was another group. What were the other two groups? The Gentiles were brought in Acts chapter number 10. And what group were brought in Acts chapter 19? Not the Greeks. There was one more group out there that had a leader that were kind of doing their own thing that had to get bought in as well. Not just the Jews, not just the Samaritans, not just the Gentiles, but one more group. John's followers. John's followers. They were still baptizing. And they said, Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? They said, we haven't even heard there be any Holy Ghost. He said, then what were you baptized? He said, we're baptized into John's baptism. Then it said, then they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they were bought in. So those four groups of people are being bought in. The Gentiles were part of those sheep along with the Samaritans because Jesus clearly said, I'm not sent but to Israel, not the Samaritans, not the Gentiles, but they would be bought in. So they're the other sheep. So let's talk about this a little bit here. What do shepherds physically do? What's their duties? What do shepherds do? Huh? Protect sheep. Okay. What else? Watch them. Okay. What else? Jared? Feed them. Amen. What else? Shepherd. What do they do? What's that? Guide them. Amen. Yeah, Jesus. Herd the sheep. Amen. That means get them from one place to the other. What else do shepherds do? Because we have the duties of a shepherd. Yes, ma'am. Sometimes it's necessary. Sometimes it's necessary. If you got a sheep that keeps getting into trouble, you break his leg, so he's dependent. Amen. So if Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, then it behooves us to know what a shepherd's supposed to do. Amen. We see that he says he gives his life for the sheep. But a good shepherd, amen, what does he do? Anything else that a shepherd does? Anybody know? Anything else? Let's try. Nurses them? Amen. How many have been on the farm? Get an animal sick, you got to take care of the animal? Amen. Yes, G? The crook or the staff? Amen. Amen. Yes, Terrell? Amen. Get predators away. Keep the predators away. Amen. That's one of the reasons why they have them inside the fold area. Amen. So the duties of a shepherd. Let me give you those duties here of what a shepherd does. And this is pretty basic. They're responsible for the care and control of sheep, basically. Now, what does that entail? That entails their safety and welfare by feeding them or allowing them to graze in areas where it's safe to graze. Can there be areas that aren't safe to graze? Amen. Does poison ivy look green? If you don't know any better, can you get up next to it? How many have gotten up next to it? Amen. If you're not careful, the poison ivy will mess you up. Amen. And so by feeding or grazing, by leading or herding and transporting, as G2 says, and protecting or watching, as several others said, from predators. So there is the duty. So if Jesus is our good shepherd, what is he responsible for when it comes to us? Smelly? Amen. The same basic things, but give us some application. Now, if he's going to protect us from harm and danger, what kind of danger is out there? Me sure. The devil? Amen. He's definitely out there. Amen. What was the danger in the beginning passage here? There was a stranger coming in here in the first several verses there. A thief, a robber, trying to steal the sheep away. Now, how many of y'all ever had lamb chops? Pretty good, isn't it? Amen. How many of y'all ever had a wool garment? Pretty warm, especially during this time of the year. Amen. You need some wool. Amen. So now if I steal the sheep, I've got somebody's wool, I've got somebody's lamb chops, amen, so I can get some pretty good stuff there. So there's some danger there. What else does Jesus Christ do as our shepherd? Teaches us, amen. What's he going to teach us from? Huh? He's going to teach us good doctrine so we can see bad doctrine. Amen. Because if he's teaching me the truth, I will know falsehood. Amen. How many of y'all go to the store and you give the clerk a 20 or a 50 and they mark on it? You know what they're doing? They're checking to see if it's fake. Why? They know what a real one does and what a real one should, what a fake one does. And so they mark it to see why. They know what a real one does. So they'll get that thing and they'll mark it. And you marked a perfectly good bill. Amen. They're trying to see if it's fake. If it's fake, guess what's going to happen? Somebody didn't pull the wool over your eyes. And you're going to come up with some more money. And that's the only money you got. You're going to get back the merchandise. Amen. Jesus Christ, what does he do? He's responsible for feeding us by the word of God, leading us by shepherds and under shepherds, and protecting us from that which would harm us. Now, how's he going to do all that? I'm glad you asked. And guess who gets harmed the most? The ones that don't read and abide by this. Because the instructions are there. And if I don't want to abide by them, I am the one that gets hurt. Amen. Amen. All right. So we see the good shepherd. We see the duties of a shepherd. What a shepherd does. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Let's see the next part of this here. Now, what are sheep known for? Now, if he says, I am the good shepherd, I'm going to give my life for the sheep. Notice what it says down here in verse number 12. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. Why can't the sheep fight back? Sheep has no defenses. You know what the sheep's best defense is? And this is not bad advice for us too. Run. Run. They can't bite. They don't have horns. They can run. You know what you should see do when you see bad doctrine, hear bad doctrine? Run. Get away from it. Amen. Get away from it. When you see a hireling, you see a wolf in sheep's clothing, get away. Run. Sheep can't do a whole lot, but they can run. How many of y'all can run? It behooves you to run. Amen. Notice verse 13, the hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the, what kind of shepherd? Good shepherd, and know my who? Sheep. Notice verse 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the who? Sheep, and other sheep I have, which not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I what? Lay down my life that I might take it again. So let's notice some things about sheep. What are sheep known for characteristically? Wandering. What else are they known for? Noisy. What else are they known for? Josh?
Bad behavior.
Bad behavior. Amen. I like that. Bad behavior. What else? They're their own worst enemies sometimes. Amen. What else about sheep? By the way, all of this that we're mentioning, we resemble. Yes. Mm-hmm. That is. How many of y'all ever heard of the Judas goat? Never heard of the Judas goat? Nobody ever heard of Judas goat? Nobody? Who's got a phone here? Google Judas goat. Who you say? Brother Duffy, Google Judas goat, amen. Judas goat, amen, because sheep are followers, are Christian followers. Yes, we are. We see one Christian do it, we think everybody's got to do it, amen. I remember when I first got saved, I thought that was always right until I started reading the Bible and found out certain things that Christians were doing wasn't right. And come to find out, because the Christians weren't right, amen. And come to find out, some of the Christians really weren't Christians. They were hirelings. What does it say about Judas goat?
Is trained to associate with sheep or cattle, leading them to a specific destination. and stop here, and Judas go where we wish you to slaughter, while his own life is spared.
So in other words, did Judas go to get in there with the rest of them? Hey, what's going on? Hey, what's going on, sheep? Well, you don't look like us. I don't got to look like you, man. I'm one of y'all. Come on, man. Follow me. Come on, let's go. Then he comes out the other side, and guess what? The rest of them don't come out. And you know what? He goes back out and does the same thing again. Hey, how y'all doing? Hey, what's going on, man? Yeah, I know I don't look like no sheep, man, but I'm one of y'all, man. Come on, follow me. Come on. He come back out the other side. They don't come back out. Hey, folks, does that happen to Christians? It happens all the time. You get people that will prey on Christians because they are like sheep. They're gullible oftentimes. And because I can say Jesus and I can spell God and I can say hallelujah and I can say praise the Lord, I must be spiritual. Not so. Judas Goat is one of the most deceptive characters in the farmer's field to help out with his job. So in other words, you can say the Judas Goat was the Christian and the farmer that has him is the devil, if I could use that comparison. The devil has his Judas Goats that portray themselves as real Christians and take unsuspecting people to the slaughter. Amen. I can't believe I never heard of Judas Goat. He is a goat. But he follows as a sheep. Yes, sir.
Then what happens at the end when they're all dead?
No, he gets to go free. That's his job. That's what he does. He lives to serve another day because there's always going to be more lambs born. Amen. All right. So let's look at something here real quick with the next few minutes we got here. What are sheep known for? Amen. If Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd, I'm going to give my life for the sheep. Why does he have to give his life for these sheep? Why can't these sheep save themselves? Amen. There's got to be something about them. Amen. Go to Psalm 119 with me for the first one. And the first one is this. Sheep are prone to wander. They're prone to wander. Psalm 119. By the way, if you are prone to wander, who probably has you wandering? Oftentimes a Judas goat. Why? Because we are followers. It takes a strong person to stand up there and say, I'm not going to follow the crowd. I'm going to see what God says. I'm going to follow what God says. Now, the danger with that, if I don't know context and if I don't know dispensations and if I don't know what God is talking about and how he's talking about it, guess what? I can still err, even though I say I'm not following anybody. I'm following God's word. If you don't know the word of God well enough, guess what? I'm going to err. Why do you think God has what he calls under shepherds or pastors to guide and lead the flock? If the under shepherd is in error, guess where the sheep are going? Just like the Judas goat. Psalm 119, prone to wander. And notice verse 9 and verse number 10. Many of us can probably quote this, amen. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not what? Wander from thy commandments. Why? Sheep are prone to wander. They also not only are prone to wander, but they need guidance. Go to Psalm 119 and 176. 176, they're prone to wander and they need guidance. And the same Psalm 176. And notice what he says here. I have what? Gone astray like a who? A lost sheep. What do I want? Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Now, wait a minute. I do not forget thy commandments, but I'm gone astray. How does that work? That's what we call willful disobedience. I know thy commandments, but I'm going astray anyway. Don't kids do that all the time? Kids, shake your hand. Shake your head. You know it's true. Amen. Adults, don't we do it too? Yes, we do. We know what God says, and we say, I'm going to do what I want to do anyway. That's known as willful disobedience. Why? He said, oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Over here, what does he say? He says, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Why? It's my nature. That's what I do. That's how sheep are. That's why they need a shepherd. And that's why Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep. Amen. Why? They're prone to wander. They need guidance. Go over to Isaiah 53, verse 6. Most of us know this one. Isaiah 53 and verse number 6. I am the good shepherd, he said. I give my life for the sheep. Why? We're prone to wander. We need guidance. Isaiah 53 and verse number 6. Most of us know this one by heart. All we like sheep have gone where? Astray. We have turned everyone to what? His own way, which means I'm doing what I want to do. And the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. Amen. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is bought as a what? Lamb to what? The slaughter. And as what? A sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. In other words, Jesus Christ took our punishment, our penalty, what we should have gotten. He took. So prone to wander, and we need guidance. Amen. Of course, we all know Psalm 23 and verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He what? Maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He what? Restoreth my soul. What happens? A shepherd's got to do that for the sheep. Maketh me means that's forcibly. He maketh me to lie down. Sometimes I just don't want to lie down and get in this book. Sometimes he's got to make me. Amen. Hey, why? Because the Judas goat is out there. The Judas goat. The Judas goat is out there. Hey, and if I'm not careful, he'll buddy up to me and tell me I don't need this book. He knows a better way. He'll tell me, hey, why are you reading that? You can get you another one. They're all the same anyway. What you listen to that preacher for? We know we a man just like he a man. We come on, let's go our own way. We don't need him. Hey, I'm just saying. I'll show you something else that sheep are as well. Go over to Genesis 22. Genesis 22. Sheep are prone to wander. They need guidance. But there's something else about sheep that resembles you and I. Genesis 22, verse 7. Of course, if you know where we're going, we're talking about a guy by the name of Abraham. And Genesis 22, notice verse 7. Isaac spake unto Abram. Abraham, his father, said, my father. He said, here am I, my son. He said, behold, the fire, the wood, but where is the lamb for burnt offering? Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. You know what else the sheep are, other than prone to wander and need guidance? The sacrificial. Sacrificial. Notice what God told them in Exodus chapter 12. The sacrificial. Preacher, you trying to tell us we need to go kill ourselves? Not even remotely close. By the way, I went to the doctor today. Guess what they asked me? I filled out everything. They said, fill out this sheet here. And I filled out. She said, oh, you didn't do the back. On the back was question after question. Do you feel suicidal? Do you feel homicidal? I thought, I just preached about that on Sunday. And here it is again. Do you feel like this? When did you start feeling like this? How many people do you want to kill? I thought. I said, no. I said, N-A. I said, no. When did you start feeling like this? No. Do you? No, and no. How many times do I say no? Amen. And at the end, she said, did you feel it out? I want to say no. Amen. Exodus chapter number 12. Notice down here in verse number 3. And of course, this is the instructions that they were given for the sacrificial lamb. Exodus chapter 12, verse number 3. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Of course, he's giving the information as to what needs to happen there. And of course, you know, the end result, they are to kill the lamb. So the sheep or the lamb is prone to wander, needs guidance, but they're sacrificial as well. Does God want us to kill ourselves? No, but what does he tell us in Romans 12:1? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a what? Living sacrifice. So in the same way that sheep are sacrificial, you and I should be sacrificial as well, giving our life for the Lord who gave his life for ours. Amen. Amen. Hey, notice how Paul puts it in Romans chapter 8, verse 36. Romans 8:36. So we're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Romans 8 and verse 36. As it is written, for thy sake we are what? Killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now, how can we be more than conquerors through him that loved us if we're killed all the day? And how can we be killed over and over again? Spiritual. We should be dead to what we want to do and alive to what God wants us to do. And sometimes I have to crucify the flesh over and over and over and over again because I want to do sometimes things that God didn't want me to do. Amen. And I've got to be killed sometimes all the day long. I want to do this. No, I got to kill that desire. I want to do this. Got to kill that desire. I want to do this. Got to kill that desire. I want to do this. Got to kill that desire. And sometimes I've got to do it over and over again. Why? We are like sheep. Sheep want to do what they want to do. And the shepherd's got to come back here and pull them out. Got to get that long crook sometimes and get them from places where they should not be at. Got to stand in between them and the predator or the lion or the tiger or whatever it is. David said, I had to fight a bear. That's what the shepherd has to do. Why? We're prone to wander. We need guidance. We are sacrificial. But you know what? Sheep are useful too. They're good for food. They're good for wool. They're good for milk. They're good for offspring. They bring more lambs. Guess what? Lambs beget lambs. And if I don't have a lamb, guess what I'm not going to have? Any more lambs. Like still begets like. Lambs beget lambs, or sheep beget lambs, amen? And so I've got to have them. They're useful. What am I saying here? Jesus Christ knows that we are useful, but he also knows that we are prone to wander. He also knows that we are needing guidance, and he also knows that he wants us to be sacrificial. Why? We're following what he did. He said, I'm the good shepherd. We're going to pick up some things with this next week. Go back to John chapter number 10. John chapter 10. And in John chapter number 10, notice again, he says in verse number 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And in verse 14, I'm the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As we look at this, we're going to look at some things next time we get together about that statement there that he makes in verse 14. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. How deep does God know us? And how deep do we know ourselves? Notice what he says. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. He says he knows us and we should know him. How well do we know him? And how well does he know us? We know the answer, how well he knows us. But how well do we know him? Notice that again. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. He said, I know the ones that belong to me. By the way, how many of y'all know your kids? You know which kid. You can look at the group. You can pick yours out. There go line right there. If one comes into the fold, you go, ah, that one doesn't belong to mine. I'm not taking you home. Uh-uh. You know yours. He said, I know mine. But he says, and am known of mine. They know me. How well do we really know our shepherd? And that's what we're going to discuss next time. What distinguishes Jesus apart from all other shepherds? And that's going to be the subject that we talk about next time. We understand he's a good shepherd. We understand that he has us as his sheep. And we understand that we are the sheep that are the other sheep. We know what his duties are as a shepherd, but we also know who we are as sheep. Let me tell you something. The better you know yourself, the more humble you'll be. People don't know themselves are proud people. But if you really saw yourself the way God says, you would be this low to the ground. If you really saw who you are before God. Hey, folks, that keeps me humble. Keeps me humble all the time. I think about how God sees me. And I'm thinking, see, we can't see you. That's the point. People should see Christ in me, not me. If they see me, there's a problem. They see Christ in me. And so he has always showed me myself. Folks, as you leave tonight, leave with this thought on your mind. How well do you know the shepherd? Because he says, I'm known of mine. Does he have first bill in your life? Are you willing to sacrifice for him like he sacrificed for you? Are you like that sacrificial lamb in Exodus and like the one that Abraham and Isaac spoke about? We know we're prone to wander. We know we're needing guidance, but we also should be sacrificial. How well do I know my shepherd? If he is your shepherd, you should know him. You should know him. And he knows you. By the way, there are people that say they know him, and they really don't know him. They really don't know him at all. And they need to know him. They need to know him. And they need to be saved. Amen. Hey, folks, I called on the Lord for a long time, not knowing who he was. But then one day, February 3rd, 1991, God showed me himself, showed me who he was. And he said, look, I know you're prone to wander. I know you got some issues and guidance, but I sacrificed myself for you, and I want to save you. And Papa didn't raise no fool. I said, I want to be saved. He knew me. Now I know him. Can I know him better? Oh, yes, I can. And I trust that I will. Folks, as you leave, think about that. How well do you know your shepherd? And you want to know him better and better and better each day. If you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, ask him tonight to save you. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Lord, as we look at you being our Savior and being our shepherd, and Lord, giving your life for us, help us be willing to give our lives for you. We thank you that you are the good shepherd. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us a character portrait from sheep and saying we're like sheep. Lord, as we know more about the sheep, help us to know more about you. We thank you and love you. Now work in our lives, work in our hearts. Thank you and love you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.